subject this morning is the truth concerning mental health. I draw your attention to the first psalm, reading verses 1 through 4. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. This first psalm begins with an exclamation, "Oh, the blessedness of the man." Verse 1 is negative. The man is exclaimed as blessed who does not live like other men do, progressively entrenched in sin. Verse 2 gives a contrast of character in a positive sense. But this man, the blessed man's delight, is in the law of the Lord. This man is a theonomist. This man lives a life that is governed entirely by the Word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3 gives us the stability of such a life and personality, contrasted in verse 4 to the ungodly. The ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The word ungodly in verse 1 and verse 4 comes from a root word in the Hebrew which means unstable, disturbed, agitated, no certain foundation. This man, however, in verse 3, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God in his grace takes him from his native soil of sin and plants him by the river of grace in the soil of salvation, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Because the word of God governs this man's life, he has stability, he has satisfaction, and he experiences, under God's law word, fulfillment. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. In verse 3, we have the reading in the Hebrew, Shalom, Shalom, translated in our English version, perfect peace. The most emphatic way the Hebrew language and thought process can denote emphasis is emphasis by repetition. Shalom, Shalom, peace, peace, is interpreted in our English version as perfect peace. Perfect peace is the property and possession of one whose mind is stayed on Yahweh, Jehovah God. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. In verses 20 and 21, the word wicked is the same word translated ungodly in Psalm 1. It means those who are agitated, those who are in tumult, those who have literally no foundation and no stability. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Their lives are relegated by pragmatism and relativism because they have no standard to give them stability. Therefore, they are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Romans chapter 5, reading the first five verses. Therefore, literally having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. A right relationship with God, the Apostle Paul tells us, enables us to stand with anticipation of the hope of the glory of God and to rejoice in it. But this vital truth of Christianity is not wholly eschatological or in the future, but it is a present experiential joy. And not only so, but we glory in this present life, in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation or trials work patience, hupo mone, the ability to remain under stress without seeking to get out from under it. The maturity of character, the stability of our present experience stems from a right relationship with God. Romans chapter 8, reading verses 28 through 31. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Proper mental health flows from a right relationship to God and from a confidence in God's omnipotence and from His divine sovereignty that He controls all things. James chapter 1, reading verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Look closely then at these verses, literally, from the original language, in the emphatic position, carefully weigh it out, my brethren, with all joy, whenever you fall into manifold testing, knowing this by experience, that the testing of your faith results in the ability to remain under stress. But let this ability have her complete work, in order that ye may be mature and complete with nothing lacking. It is adversity that is faced by the strength and relationship of God that enables us to reach a mature personality and character. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The statement, fear hath torment, is very emphatic in the original language. The word order is fear torment emphatically has. The word translated torment in our English Bible is placed in the emphatic position. This word translated torment means restriction or curtailment. Fear has, in the highest sense of the term, a curtailment. It curbs us. We cannot find fulfillment or satisfaction when our love is tainted with fear. Now I invite your attention to our text, which is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Again, mark these verses very carefully. Verse 6. A present prohibition in the original language. Stop being anxious about even one thing. But much to the contrary, in every single thing, by general prayer and specific request, intermingled with an attitude of thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, yes, I mean this peace which passes all understanding, shall constantly garrison about, guard your hearts, your inner beings, and your minds, the direction of your thinking, in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, on these things emphatically, keep on setting your reasoning and your mind. Keep on making an account. Fill up your ledger book. This is the significance of the original language. We live in an age and society that is extremely conscious of social issues and of personal fulfillment. Therefore, what today is called mental health is a great priority in the thinking of our social planners and those who seek to socially control our society. Mental health extends to every human institution. It permeates our educational philosophy. It is exemplified in our welfare state. Even our judicial system is completely given over to the medical model given to us by mental health. Men are no longer incarcerated in jails or in prisons. Rather, they are sent to penitentiaries that they might become penitent. They are no longer, therefore, punished, but they are to be re-educated by behavior modification processes that they might be sorry for what they have done and they might be cured of their mental sickness and therefore rehabilitated, their behavior modified, that they might re-enter society. Our federal prisons are no longer called prisons, but are rather called federal correctional institutions and federal correctional facilities. Men are no longer criminals. Men are uneducated and ignorant. Men are no longer criminals. Men are sick. Men no longer commit crimes. Men cannot cope acceptably, well-adjustably to their environment. Men are no longer sinners, but indeed men are sick. And they do bad things because
they are suffering from certain sicknesses of which society seeks to cure them. This mental health concept extends to the community. It permeates the philosophy of our school. It has been completely the governing aspect of modern-day Christianity, which has degraded the gospel and emphasizes only social issues. It has entered into the very family, and it comes down to the individual to control him as a member and component of society. There are two approaches to, or two concepts of, mental health. One is completely humanistic. It is fraught with relativism. It offers no absolute or objective standard for the personality. It is entirely based upon a pragmatic approach. As men are seeking to control men and therefore to control society, and by the very fallible, changing, pragmatic, relativistic standard of our society, are seeking to get all men, women, and children to conform to the norm of statistical law and average. There is another concept of mental health. That is the truth of the Word of God, that man will never be able to function properly in the world of reality unless he has a right relationship with God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, unless his life is governed by the liberty of the law of God, and unless his life exemplifies the truth of God's converting grace and indeed the presence and power of God's indwelling Holy Spirit. These two concepts of what today is called mental health cannot be brought to agreement. One is antichrist and humanistic. The other is centered in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and comes from God. These have different concepts of the human personality and of the origin of the human race. These are diametrically opposed by definition. These are diametrically opposed by description. These are diametrically opposed by methodology. These are diametrically opposed in their symptoms. And these are diametrically opposed in their treatment and cure. As God enables us, we will mark three things this morning. In the first place, the essential problem. In the second place, the proposed humanistic solution. And in the third place, the true biblical solution concerning the truth of mental health. The essential problem, then. There are three things that we would note concerning the essential problem of mental health. Man desires to find meaning in life. He desires to achieve a reasonable amount of fulfillment in life. He desires above all things to find enjoyment and satisfaction in life. However, he is unable to do so completely. If indeed he cannot cope with his environment, if indeed he must transgress the social mores or traditions of society to find any fulfillment, enjoyment, or satisfaction, he is labeled today as mentally ill and needs to be restored to mental health. Mental health, then, is an attempt to secure this satisfaction for the good of the individual, for the good of the family, for the good of community, and for the good of society at large. All of this apart from the reality of God, the reality and truth of His Word. Therefore, mental health, in its very essence, is a problem that is defined, described by, and seeks solution entirely apart from the truth and reality of God and His rule. I want then to give a description, in the second place, of mental health. I'm giving you a quotation from a dictionary of psychology. I quote, "Mental health is a state of good adjustment with a subjective state of well-being, zest for living, and the feeling that one is exercising his talents and abilities." Now I move to the third thing, and that is the real problem with man's approach to mental health concerning this definition or attempt to define mental health. There are five things I want to mark concerning this description of mental health that we have given. Quote, "a state of good adjustment," unquote. The first thing that we would mark is this: good adjustment is completely relativistic and must be defined in each environment. Man has, apart from the Word of God, no ability at all or right at all to define what good adjustment in society is. I can take this definition or the attempt to define mental health to the wild jungles of the East Indies and apply it to a headhunter who kills other men and women and cuts off their heads and eats their flesh. The headhunter and the cannibal, if he is consistent of hunting heads, if he is consistent with eating human flesh after murdering the innocent victims, he is well adjusted to his society, and therefore the headhunter and the cannibal is in good mental health. In the subculture of our ghettos, when the prostitute is able to make a good living and buy the things she wants, according to this attempt at defining mental health, that woman in her immorality is in good mental health. According to the definition of mental health as given here and promulgated by the psychiatric union of our country, homosexuality is no longer considered a mental illness. It is considered a socially acceptable behavior. And therefore now, they seek to guide and counsel individuals under what they call, quote, sexual orientation disturbance, unquote. The problem is not that the man or woman is homosexual or lesbian. The problem is we must counsel them in good mental health because they are disturbed that they can't assume that role without guilt. Therefore, the homosexual who has no hang-ups concerning his homosexuality, but accepts it, enjoys it, and finds fulfillment and satisfaction therein, is well adjusted in society and is in good mental health. Therefore, we repeat, good adjustment is completely relative and must be defined in each environment. Again, quote, "a state of good adjustment with a subjective state of well-being, zest for living, and the feeling that one is exercising his talents and abilities," unquote. Self-concept is completely subjective, and it has no objective standard apart from the individual except the standard of the society or the subculture in which that individual lives. And if the subculture is one of immorality, the man who practices immorality is in good mental health and is well adjusted to his environment. If it's thievery, if it's narcotics, whatever it might be, this concept of mental health will raise no one higher than the lowest level of that society. Again, this lacks, therefore, moral and ethical reality. Man, then, is reduced to a creature of the continual present. Mental health is a state of good adjustment with a subjective state of well-being, zest for living, and the feeling that one is exercising his talents and abilities. Man is essentially reduced to the level of an animal. He is reduced to a creature of the continual present with no expectation for the future, no reality nor hope beyond death. All must eventually die, Death is a traumatic experience. Death is the result of sin. Death is unnatural. And all the mental health in the world will never prepare you to face death in reality. Therefore, mental health is an attempt to reduce man to the level of an animal. Mental health gives no moral standard for personal activity or interaction with other individuals. Therefore, mental health fails with respect to the criminal, with respect to the immoral, with respect to the sexual deviant, with respect to the sinner, with respect to the one whose conscience is smitten because he has transgressed the law of Almighty God. In short, man is seeking meaning in this universe, seeking fulfillment, seeking satisfaction apart from God, and therefore apart from reality. I mark then in the second place the proposed humanistic solution to man's dilemma concerning mental health. I want to note three things under the aspect of the humanistic solution. The first is the degeneration of the humanistic model of the human personality. God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the entire earth and subdue it." Man is made in the image of God. He is therefore a reasoning and morally responsible being. However, the entire concept of mental health is based upon a degenerating concept of the human personality. When God was rejected during the time of medieval scholasticism, in principle in its Thomistic theology, later with the Enlightenment, the Renaissance, and the rule of rationalism or reason, Descartes, the philosopher, becomes for us the guiding light. He made this statement, "I think, therefore I am, I exist." And he has epitomized the whole idea of man alienated from God and from reality. Man is a rational or a reasoning being. So now we have, by the process of rationalism, by the Renaissance, by the Enlightenment, we see that man is divorced from God, seeking to be his own God and governed by reason, apart from the Word of God and the law of God to give any morality or absolute ethical principle to that reasoning. The next step in degeneration was brought by Darwinism. Charles Darwin, in his theory of the origin of the species, in his theory of natural selection, in what we basically call evolution, Darwinism brought us down then that man is an animal. Therefore, the human personality has degenerated again. Not only is man now apart from God as a rational being, but now man has been degraded into a rational animal. He's a reasoning being, but he's an animal. He looks back not to God as his source, or made in the image of God, but to plankton, amoeba, paramecium, one-celled animals.
And then with Sigmund Freud, who fragmented what was left of the human personality into the id, the ego, and the superego, man was degraded from a rational being to a rational animal to an irrational animal that is controlled by the impulse of self-gratification and greed and power. Mental health exists upon the principle that man is an irrational animal. The entire concept of mental health as it exists in our society today is based on Freud's, Jung's, and Alder's medical model of the human personality as an irrational animal. The second thing is the significance of the medical model. Again, the main human figures in history are Sigmund Freud, Carl Jung, and Joseph Alder. Man is now considered after the medical model. That means there is no such thing as sin. That man is not a sinner. Man is not a criminal. Man has transgressed neither the laws of God nor the laws of man, but man is rather sick. Man is not responsible. Man is passive. He has contracted a disease. He is the victim. Therefore, he is not responsible. If this be true, and mental health preaches that it is so, then theology, religion, the Word of God, the reality of God, the Bible, prayer, all of these things are fantasies, and none of these things can help an individual achieve mental health. The entire concept of mental health is anti-Christ and anti-God and anti-theistic in its very philosophy. Man is now a sick, irrational animal. Therefore, men are no longer drunks, men are alcoholics. Men have contracted a disease called alcoholism and are powerless to deal with that disease. The Bible tells us that drunkenness is sin, and that man is responsible for his actions and his sin. And therefore the gospel gives hope to the man who sold his soul for drink. The Bible teaches us that the sexual act is a morally responsible, intelligent act. Therefore, for the individual who is steeped and involved in immorality, his need is not psychotherapy. His need is to lay down the weapons of his warfare, repent and turn to Christ, and be delivered from his sin by the power and forgiveness of Almighty God. We have individuals in our societies today who are sick. They have been infected with the disease of kleptomania. It's the Greek word which means one who steals compulsively. The Bible tells us that stealing is not a sickness. Stealing and theft is a sin. Man's need is to repent, to restore, and to learn to work with his hands and labor and be honest. Man is not sick. Man is a sinner. Man is responsible. It is not sickness. It is indeed sin. In the third place, I would mark then the avenue of treatment based upon the medical model. Because from Descartes to Darwin to Freud et al., man is now a sick, irrational animal that needs treatment for behavioral modification, that he might be conformed to the traditions and the low ebb of our dying society. Therefore, the avenue of treatment is based upon the medical model. Man is sick, he needs treatment. Psychotherapy gives man treatment through surgery, through shock treatments that erase parts of the memory, and therefore do away with the symptoms of the disease. There are drugs for behavioral modification, be they Valium and the other tranquilizers that are given to our hyperactive school children. When I was a teacher in the school district in Sacramento, in a meeting given for school teachers, we were told by the superintendent of public education that at least one-third of the elementary children in the Sacramento school district were on tranquilizers for being hyperactive in the classroom. That's what I'm speaking about. All the distraught housewives watching the soap operas and television must be prescribed tranquilizers that they can face life without being disturbed. When President Kennedy was assassinated in Texas, the entire society was blamed. Our whole society is to blame. Our whole society is sick. It's up to society to cure itself. Physician, cure thyself. Therefore, we have mental health. Through the process of psychoanalysis, these sick, irrational animals must be cured. Psychoanalysis is a process that may be defined technically as menticide. Menticide is the technical name for brainwashing. Menticide is literally the murder of the mind. Regicide is the murder of a king. Homicide is the murder of an ordinary man. Patricide is the murder of a father. Matricide, the murder of a mother. Menticide is the murder of the mind, the technical word for brainwashing. I give you a definition from the same dictionary of psychology for menticide. The systematic attempt to break down attitudes, beliefs, allegiances in favor of another's standard. Psychotherapy, the methodology of psychiatry, with the use of drugs and with this use of menticide, is seeking to break down the individual that individual might conform without guilt to the mores of society. Therefore, under psychotherapy, we must rid ourselves of the oughts. We must rid ourselves of the musts. We must rid ourselves of the shoulds. And under psychotherapy, when the patient said, I must, I ought, I should, he or she is told that those very concepts have come from a religious upbringing, and they must rid themselves of such musts and oughts and shoulds, or they will continue to be plagued by guilt feelings, and they will never be released from the psychiatric ward. I'm dealing with actual case history. Guilt must be put away. Religious teachings that counter the culture must be put aside from the thinking. Man is a sick, irrational animal, and he must be dealt with as a rat in a cage with behavioral modification so he can come to the concept of what we call mental health. A recent study given in our society came to this conclusion. This was not a Christian study. This was purely a scientific study among those who practice psychotherapy themselves. 40% of those who are classified as mentally ill improved without any help at all. 40%. Of the remaining who did seek psychotherapy, only 65% of those remaining received any help. Of those who received no treatment at all, only 5% grew worse. And of those who did receive psychotherapy, 10% grew worse. Mental health, humanistically, is a failure. This brings us then to the biblical solution and the real issue. The real issue then is this. Man, apart from God, has turned from reality, and it is utterly impossible for him to find peace, fulfillment, satisfaction, or hope. Without God, there is nothing left but utter frustration and ultimate pessimism. There is ultimately no meaning at all apart from God. The world and universe that we see is a world and universe that has been spoken into existence by the fiat decree of God. This is the world of reality. Man, turning from the truth of God and seeking to be his own God, has excluded from the universe any unifying principle that gives the universe meaning. Therefore, man apart from God does not live in a universe. Man apart from God lives in a multiverse, where there is no objective unifying personality or principle to give meaning to anything. Reality for the man apart from God is a jumble and jungle of brute facts that have no cohesive significance. Everything happens by chance. And so man either becomes deterministic and fatalistic by divorcing the universe from a personality and therefore from morality, or he becomes existential and seeks to recreate his own dream world where he can give meaning to life in how he feels and in what he experiences. Therefore, because man cannot face the real world, the world and universe of reality that God controls and that must be interpreted by the Word of God, every man apart from saving faith in Jesus Christ is insane. He cannot know, he cannot experience, he cannot see, he cannot find meaning. He cannot know reality. He's out of touch with reality. Every unsaved person is insane. There are five elements of true mental health. The first is this, a proper view of reality. Before we can have mental health, we must have a proper view of reality. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke this universe into existence. This is the real world. He created man in his own image and after his own likeness. Revealed himself to man and gave him a commission to rule this earth and to wisely govern it under his hand. Therefore, because God created this universe is a created universe. And every fact, every entity, every incident in this universe is a created fact. And because it is a created fact, it only has meaning in and through God. And apart from God, it cannot have any true meaning. Therefore, there must be a proper view of reality. Man has to face the reality of God. A God who is righteous, just, and holy. A God who has created man for a purpose. A God who has created man in his own image as a morally responsible being to worship him. Or in the words of the Catechism, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The second element of true mental health is a proper standard of evaluation. Our definition or the attempt to define mental health was completely subjective and relativistic and pragmatic. Mental health defies definition on humanistic terms. There needs to be a proper standard of evaluation. That standard is the Word of God, which is God's law word to govern every area of the life. The Word of God is to govern every atom of my being and my existence. Oh, the blessedness of the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Unstable as water. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. His waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There needs to be an objective standard of evaluation. There needs to be reality, and this reality is in the Word of God.
Oh, beloved, if your life is in rebellion against the Word of God, how dare you think you can know or face reality? You are insane. The third element of true mental health is a proper concept of the human personality. Let us make man in our image and after our own likeness. Man is made in the image of God. Therefore, he is a morally responsible, reasoning, intelligent being. The Bible tells us that the works of the law are written upon the heart or the inner nature of man indelibly. Although man is fallen, although the image of God has been defaced in man, his intelligence has become criminal, his emotions have become debauched, although man's personality no longer truly reflects the image of God, yet the works of God's law are written upon the inner nature, and they can neither be erased nor escaped. And there is that light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, constituting every man, sinful though he may be, a merely responsible, intelligent being who is willfully in rebellion against God. This morning I deal with you not as with a victim, not as though you are a sick, irresponsible animal, but as an individual created in the image of God, your mind and your heart bearing witness to the truth of God's holy word and facing you and challenging you with this truth. You are in willful rebellion against God, and you will not repent. You will not confess your sin. You will not seek to be reconciled to God in Jesus Christ. You are wholly responsible for your rebellion and for your sin and for every sin in your life. You are not mentally ill, my friends. You are a sinner and a rebel against God, and you must be reconciled to God in Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is this. If mental health is true, we offer you no hope. But if the Word of God is true, there are hope for sinners in Jesus Christ. The fourth element of true mental health is a true objective cleansing of the conscience. Mental health deals with the cleansing of the conscience in this way. Do away, break down the religious teaching and the false moral values. Freud considered guilt to be a fantasy. Freud did not allow guilt to enter into the realm of reality. Therefore, in reality, his view of psychotherapy was to rid man of religious and moral fantasies. Do I have to tell you that guilt is true? The works of the law written upon your heart tell you that guilt is true. What drives you to Jesus Christ is the guilt of your sin. There is forgiveness only in him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify us to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living and the true God. There is hope. There is the cleansing of the conscience. There is the forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ alone. The final element of mental health is that there must be an internalized motivating dynamic. We find this in the presence and power of the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. For what the law could not do in that it was weak to the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk or order our lives not after the flesh or under the dominion of the flesh, but after the Spirit, literally under the dominion of the Spirit.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Mental health stands upon a proper view of reality. Mental health stems from a proper standard of evaluation for the life. Mental health stems from a proper concept of human personality. Mental health comes from a true objective cleansing of the conscience from guilt. Mental health stems from an internalized motivating dynamic. Mental health is possible only in and through the saving grace of God as it is in Jesus Christ in the fullness of His gospel. Apart from Christ, ye are insane. You cannot know, you cannot think, you cannot realize, you cannot experience reality. In Christ, there is hope. There is cleansing. There is deliverance. Look to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May God so bless His truth for the changing of lives for His name's sake. Amen.